And I'll request Swami Kripamayananda, of the head of the Vedanta Society of Toronto, Canada, to address us. His topic is compassion and love in spiritual life.
Good afternoon. I bring the adoration and homage from the devotees of true north of North American continent, Canada. Topic today is love and compassion in a spiritual life. Love and compassion are two most necessary qualities, not only in a spiritual life, but simply for the very survival of this life. At least the periodic attempts of its expression helps us to move forward towards the lofty ideals of spiritual fulfillment, or even if you want to lead a simple, peaceful, and happy life. Without love and compassion, it's not possible. How do you resonate, connect, and embrace with your fellow brethren, the plant and animals, and the rest of the world without love and compassion? As Swami Vivekananda says, each soul is potentially divine. The goal is to manifest this divinity within. He goes on saying, all love is expansion. All selfishness is contraction. Love is therefore the only law of life. He who loves lives. He who is selfish is dying. Unselfishness is more pain. Only people do not have the patience to practice it. Well, today, rather than talking about some of the ancient sages and saints and their embodiment of love and compassion throughout history, such as Buddha's compassion on Angulimala, or Jesus on those who tormented, tortured, and killed him, or to Ramakrishna on Girish Ghosh, even Swami Vivekananda's love and compassion, not only for his fellow brother disciples, but even for his favorite dog and goat, who used freely, who used to roam freely about on the Belur Math ground. I am extremely happy and honored to share an example of a noble and spiritual soul, a wonderful human being, our very own and most beloved, revered Swami Prabuddhananda Ji Maharaj, who imbibed these two qualities of love and compassion throughout his life. That's why we have gathered here today to reflect, to appreciate, to remember, and to talk about him. True love should neither be qualifiable nor quantifiable. It simply is. As Vivekananda says, love for love's sake, work for work's sake, duty for duty's sake. In this regard, Swami Prabhavananda used to say that Raja Maharaj loved us in such a way that we always felt that he loved me the most. How amazing. I'm sure each and every one of us who have gathered here today to pay respect and homage to Swami Prabuddhananda felt more than once that way, especially his disciples. Swami Prabuddhananda had a beautiful and serene smile, a sense of calm and radiating peace, a bright and jovial face. He exuded love and compassion. We all felt it as we came in contact with him. We felt we were special. His way of organizing events was meticulous. Once I heard from one volunteer that when people were eating on some seminar, some retreat. So we tend to eat longer, and then after that we talk and we don't go to the work. There's a lot of work remaining. So Swami Prabhudan used to say, eat slowly, but get up quickly. His closeness to the Toronto Center loved his fellow brother disciple, revered Swami Pramathananda. Swami Prabhudananda visited Toronto often and conducted retreats, seminars, lectures since 1980. He conducted retreat in Toronto in 1984, 85, 86, 87. And whenever he was invited, he was more than eager to go. I met him in the memorial service of Swami Pramathanandaji. He was very happy to see the devotees. And he said, devotees are the assets of the center. And to serve the devotees, we are here. He remembered everyone's name in Toronto, always inquired about each individual and family's well-being, even when we spoke over the phone. When I came here in Toronto, he called me. It was just 3 days. And he said, Kripamayananda ji, how do you feel? I said, Swamiji, no ji, just say Kripamayananda. He said, no, Kripamayananda ji. He knew to give respect to everyone, though he may be very, very junior to him. In his last visit to Toronto, he seriously fell ill with his prostate complications, endured tremendous bleeding and suffering, didn't tell anyone, conducted 2 days retreat, fell ill on Sunday night, and had to be hospitalized. Swami didn't want to disappoint the devotees and friends who so eagerly came to meet him and listen to his talks. Throughout his sickness, he even conducted interviews, and he was bleeding. His bleeding started in the aircraft. He never mentioned that to us. Then conducted retreat for 2 days. Retreat finished on Sunday evening. At night, it was more. Then he came to call me at dead of night, like 1:30, 2 a.m. Swamiji always made us feel welcome with open hearts. May that be via email or phone conversation. Every time I expressed interest, he came to receive a junior monk like me to the airport. Not only he would welcome me, but he would also welcome a devotee with equal joy and openness who would accompany me from the Toronto Center. That was his greatness, giving respect again. I said, Swamiji, why did you have to come? I just came to see you. He said, you have come all the way from Toronto. Can't I come there? He made to receive. It was overwhelming experience from such a senior Swami. And Swami Shantarupananji was saying how he was overwhelmed. He was not so junior like me. And Swamiji had become so elderly, and still he made it a point to go to the airport and to receive. A man of few words, he was rather a keen observer. He was witty and charming, always aware of his surroundings. One of his favorite phrases was Pariksha Lokan, as was referred to the awareness and concentration. His constant encouragement and inspiration, especially to young men and women, and love for the Toronto Center is indebtedly impressed in the minds of the devotees. It is simply unforgettable. At the hospital in Toronto, when his condition was quite serious, in one night, one of our Toronto devotees who was attending him asked Maharaj, Swamiji, how do you feel and what's going through your mind right now? Swamiji replied with great joy and conviction that we are going to die, and that makes us the lucky ones. Most people are never going to die because they are never going to be reborn. Out of 800 million people back in India, Over 60 years ago, Sri Ramakrishna chose this person to do his work, not only in India, but also in the West. What more can I ask for? Very blessed and special indeed. I am ready for anything. Whenever Mother wants this body back, she will have it. The devotee thought, this was very profound and striking reflection of a great human life. And see how he passed away, listening to the Holy Mother's name, Om Aim Rim Sri Sharada Devyai Namaha. It was being chanted when he was in the last breaths. And listening to this mantra, to this name of Holy Mother, he left this body. Look, sometimes it seems all these great human beings, following them is an impossible act. And yes, we must try to follow them. I'm already indicated to conclude in 2 minutes. I urge you to remember what Swami Vivekananda says, that personalities come and go, but it's their profound teachings, exemplary life, we should try to imbibe in our lives and become individuals. So once again, I would like to mention that love and compassion and its manifestations, one great lesson we all have to learn from revered Prabuddhananda Maharaj, and we should try to live our lives accordingly. Thank you.
Our thanks to Swami Kripamayananda Ji for his very inspiring reminiscences of Prabuddhananda Ji Maharaj.